morning, Wake. How are we doing this morning? Gosh, it is good to see all of your beautiful faces. You guys look amazing this morning. And it's good to be up here. Guys, as you can see by the bumper, we actually have a brand new series called Who Do You Think You Are? This series, for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be talking about identity. And as you guys in middle schoolers, I truly believe that this is one of the most important topics that you could realize or believe what God's word says. So, we're going to start by talking about the importance of identity. Guys, there are so many things that are pulling for your identity in culture today. There's friends, maybe the clubs that you're involved in, or sports, or theater, or things like that. Maybe your parents are trying to tell you who you need to be. People on social media. Maybe your teachers or maybe your siblings are trying to tell you, hey, you should be like this, you should be like this. Or maybe even yourself. Maybe you have some beliefs about yourself and who you are that aren't even true. There's a lot of areas in culture that we are trying to find our identity in. And what I would say to you is the most important thing about who you are is what God says that you are. So for this next series, we're going to be going through Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Today, we're going to focus on verse 3. And as you're listening today, I want you to specifically think about, man, where do I find my identity in my life? So I'm going to give you guys like 15, 30 seconds to think about throughout your life, where is it that you are finding your identity? What gives you value and purpose? So I want you guys to quietly think about that to yourselves. Okay, awesome. Now that you have that captured in your mind, I'm going to start by talking about blessings. Guys, that's the first part of our identity that we're going to be talking about in the series is blessings. But as I was thinking about blessings, I thought, what does that even mean? There's so many things in culture today that tie in with blessings. So I thought of four main areas that like I've heard the word blessed be used in completely different contexts. And the first, achoo! Sorry, guys. That's right, that's the first one, that's sneezing. I got you. Hopefully, some of you are like, that's so awkward that he sneezed on stage. No, the first thing in culture is whenever you sneeze, almost always someone will reply with, bless you, right. When I first was doing some research, what I thought is that, like, I think I learned this in middle school, but people told me that whenever you sneeze, your heart stops, and so that's why you need to be blessed. Have any of you ever heard that before? Yeah, a couple of you maybe? I don't know, that's what I heard growing up. But I did some research as to why that is we say bless you, and it actually has to do with history. So there's a pope named Gregory the Great. He was like the head of the Catholic Church in 590 AD, and they were going through such a horrible plague. And one of the symptoms of the plague was coughing and sneezing. And so basically, if you caught the plague, there was no healthcare system that was going to save you. So their only thought was if you sneezed, they would say, bless you, in hopes that that would save you from otherwise certain doom. So whenever you're blessing someone after they sneeze, that's what you're calling back to. Another one that I think of in culture is bless up. This is DJ Khaled. Maybe some of you have heard of him. Bless up, another one. And that I did some research. What is his definition? He did an interview with like a talk show host, and he was like, he just said bless up a lot. They were like, what does it mean when you say bless up? He's like, oh, you know, like bless up. It's when I meet my people, bless up. I'm seeing them, bless up. It's good vibes, bless up. And I'm like, I don't really even know what that means. So if you're smarter than me, maybe you know what that means. Another one that maybe you hear in more of a Christian culture is bless your heart. Bless your heart. This is basically a nice way to insult someone. Like, oh, he doesn't know any better. Oh, that poor kid, he's got a couple of screws loose. Bless his heart. That's the way that we use it in culture. And then another one is before we pray, someone will say, can you bless the food? So that's another one. All of these are completely different. I don't think you bless someone after they sneeze in the same way that you bless the food, right? There's no plagues taking place on your dinner plate. So there's a lot of different areas in culture that we use the word bless you. So I think it's important that before we talk about blessings, we know what is the definition of blessing. So this is a definition that using God's word I wrote. And it's this: to be blessed by God is to be loved by him and to live a life of eternal joy full of everything you will ever need. So it's a little wordy, so I'm going to read it again. So just think about it. But it is: to be blessed by God is to be loved by him and to live a life of eternal joy full of everything you will ever need. So now, from now on, when I'm saying blessed or blessings or things like that, this is the definition that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about DJ Khaled's bless up. Okay, this is the definition that we're going to be going with throughout the rest of this. And like I said, guys, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 1, verse 3. So if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there or write it in your notes or whatever. And just to give you guys a little bit of context, since we're going to be spending some time in these first couple verses of Ephesians 1, Paul is the author of this letter. He's writing it to the church at Ephesus, and he is writing not from a palace, not from a comfortable chair. He didn't win the Wake World Record and get this nice drink with white gloves served to him. He is writing from prison. So Paul has been imprisoned for his faith, and he is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. So everything that we hear, we need to remember, okay, this is being written from a man who is sitting in a cold jail cell eating probably like prison slop or mush, which is probably not that great. But it was not the most ideal circumstances for him to be writing from. Circumstances, they just were not amazing. As we know that, now let's go into Ephesians 1 verse 3 and we can start kind of unpacking what does this text say. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know about you, but if I'm in prison, I'm not sure that my first words would be, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is just a very spiritually mature posture. Mine might be, oh man, I don't love where I'm sitting. That might be where I start, but that is not where Paul starts. And he's talking about gratitude and blessings, right? That's the key word as we see this verse is he's blessed us and we have every spiritual blessing. So that's what we're going to talk about today is your identity, a part of who you are if you're in Christ is blessed. You are blessed. Again, you are loved by God and you get to live a life of eternal joy full of everything you will ever need. That is who you are, your identity. And a lot of you guys don't realize this. So as you're sitting there thinking, well, why do I even need to listen to this, the what you're talking about, other than because I'm at Wake? What I would say to you is you have the ability to live a life that you've always wanted, but you've never realized you had access to. So as you're listening today, I want you to realize you have access to every spiritual blessing, and we're going to talk more about that. But how we're going to break this down today is three things. We're going to talk about three things that help describe the way that God blesses us. And we're going to start by saying that God's blessings are consistent. So, despite the circumstances, despite what might be going on, God's blessings are consistent. Again, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, praise be, who are we praising? To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the realm, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So we're going to look at that first little part, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, some of you have a phone, some of you do not have a phone, and that's a sore subject, but I don't want to touch on that. Those of you that have phones know that you might have access to text messages. If you receive a text, it is very important that you know who that text is coming from. Let's say you have a text, and it says, hey, are you going to James's house later today? Now, this could be coming from another one of your friends, so you can be like, yeah, man, for sure, I might see you there. Or it might be coming from your mom. And if your mom's asking you, you're not going to say, yeah, man, for sure, I'll see you there. You might say, yes, ma'am, I honor and respect you and everything that you do. You are my mother, and I love you. That might be how you reply with the text. But that one's free. If you text your mom that, I think she might be pleased with you. But guys, the importance of knowing who the text is from will determine your response. Because you need to know the character of the sender. You need to know the type of person that is sending you the text. Are they angry with you? Are they your best friend? Will they understand if you have some sarcastic jokes? All these things are important to know when sending a text. We need to know the character of the person that gives us the text. Just in the same way, we need to know the character of the God that blesses us. So, what do we know to be true about God's character? We know in Numbers 23:19, it says this, God is not human, that he should lie, not a human being, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? What this verse is telling us in a lot of words is saying, God will never go back on his promises. So we know that anything that God has promised us, we can take you to the bank, as they say, that is going to happen. God is faithful and he's going to honor his promises to us. He's never going to go back on his promises. You can have nothing and still have everything in Christ. As I say that, that's important to know the character of God, that because we know that God keeps his promises, anything that he promises us will come true, will come to pass, and we know that even if we have nothing, we can still have everything in Christ. How do you know that, you asked? Well, the word blessed is not only used in this book of Ephesians, it's also used in Matthew chapter 5. So if you look at Matthew 5, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, it'll be on the screen. Blessed, there's that word again, blessed, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now think about that, plugging in this definition. The person who is poor in spirit is loved by God and is given the opportunity to live a life of eternal joy with everything that they could ever need. Doesn't that maybe sound a little confusing? You're like, I don't understand how you can bring that definition. He's talking about poor in spirit. And even in that chapter, it goes on to list more hard and bad circumstances. But what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Those who are poor in spirit realize they have nothing to give spiritually. That when asked to perform spiritual things, they know, hey, I have nothing to give. It is only God that is able to do spiritual things. And so the poor in spirit are us who realize apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So again, I tell you, you can have nothing and still have everything in Christ. And before we can enter God's kingdom, we must first recognize that the utter worthlessness of our own spiritual ability. That on our own, we can do nothing of any spiritual ability. And that is why it is so important to know the character of God, because he is able to do everything. And so even if those who are in bad circumstances, right, can be considered blessed, this seems like an interesting type of blessing. Because when I say be blessed, you're not thinking go experience persecution for your faith, right? That would be, you wouldn't want to tell someone that as you're just maybe saying the blessing around the table. Hey, go experience persecution for your faith. That's interesting that those two things can go in the same sentence. And so that brings us to our next word. And that is that God's blessings are eternal. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says this, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." We just talked about that, the importance of knowing his character. Next part, "in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Guys, it's almost Christmas time. And I have started getting my Christmas list ready. And maybe some of you have too, right? There's less than 100 days. And I want to tell you a story about Christmas. It was 2007, December 24th. I'm laying in my sheets, snuggled up, watching the clock go by, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., no sleep, because I know that there are gifts on the other side of the 7 a.m. mark when my mom said I could wake her up for Christmas. And I'm sure some of you have been there. But I had one thing on my Christmas list. I had one thing. And it was 2007. And it was the first ever iPod Touch. Yeah, it was amazing. And guys, let me tell you this. December 25th comes around, 6:59. I'm ambitious. I wake my mom up, my dad up. We go. My brother's there. We start opening Christmas presents. No iPod Touch. Then I see out of the corner of my eagle eye, underneath the little rug that like the Christmas tree goes on, whoosh, I pull out a box, massive box. Open the box, another box inside. Open the box again, another box inside. Then I open that box, there's a bag with tissue paper. Pull out the tissue paper, I'm sweating at this point. Pull out the tissue paper, another box. But finally, it looks like it could be the size of an iPod Touch box. And so sure enough, I open it. And guys, I have for you here today the very iPod Touch that I got. Now guys, let me tell you. I was 9 years old and my brain exploded. I, for some reason, thought iPod Touches cost like $1 million, so I had no idea how that it possibly made its way to my house. But this is that iPod Touch. And guys, how many of you today have an iPod Touch first generation on your Christmas list? First generation iPod Touch 2007. It's on your list today. Not many of you. What if I told you guys, look at the screen. It's smaller than my wallet. Or if I said, there's like a little speaker inside. You can hear from it. It's got a charger that no one has access to anymore. It has this thing on it. It's called a home button. I don't know if you guys know this, but back in the day, technology used to have a home button on it. It doesn't work. But guys, the reason I show you this iPod Touch from 2007, blessed by Steve Jobs himself. The reason I show you this is because none of you want this. No. What I'm saying is none of you have this on your Christmas list. None of you are excited to open the box of an iPod Touch the same way that I was excited to open that box in 2007. So what do we know to be true about this blessing that I received on Christmas Day? It's outdated. It's old. I looked it up, and it doesn't even support iOS. In 2009, it stopped getting updates. It only lasted 2 years. I know, it was bad. But guys, that blessing that I received, gone. I still have it, but it's worthless. There's of no value to the blessing. And that is why I say God's blessings are nothing like the iPod Touch from 2007. God's blessings are eternal. And as I'm talking about this, it doesn't mean that we get material blessings, right? Like, God's not saying, I'm going to give you your Christmas list. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to bless you with good grades on a test. I'm going to make a lot of friends like you. I'm going to give you the starting position on the sports team, first chair in band, the lead role in theater. That is not what I'm saying that God's blessings are, which I think is what a lot of us go to when we think about blessings. The blessings that God offers to us have nothing to do with our circumstances. Look at this, John 16:33. In the world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's promised that we will have bad situations and rough circumstances throughout our time. And so, that's the good news, is that the blessings are eternal. Guys, circumstances do not dictate God's blessings because God does not promise good circumstances. Here are some of the things that God promises to bless you with. New life in Jesus. That is the ultimate one. That is the best one you could ever receive, moving from death to life. But then also, you get the blessing of love, joy. You are redeemed. You have been entrusted with the Holy Spirit, and he now dwells in you. You've been adopted. You have peace. You have purpose. You are in itself valuable. You've been set free. You have spiritual gifts. All of these things are the types of blessings that we're talking about here. We're not talking about material blessings, things that you can wish for, but we're talking about these things that can't be held or wrapped in a gift, but they are eternally valuable. We don't need to ask for more blessings because we already have all of these things. That is what it's saying when it says we have every spiritual blessing. And so that is the second word. Now the third word to describe the type of blessing that God is giving us is God's blessings are an open invitation. Now I want to talk to you about a hotel. Love hotels. Hotel has a very nice pool. Any of you ever been to a hotel with a nice pool? Yes, some of you have. It's amazing. I went to this hotel. They had an amazing pool, vending machine, free. Literally like you get a little token every day, they leave it on your counter, and then you go, you get a free vending machine item. You get a hot towel if you want one. They have a gym that you can use. All of these things are free to use at this hotel. I stayed there, it was amazing. Would this hotel sound like it was a nice hotel? It does, right? Now let me tell you, what if I told you that they actually shoved everyone in the pool? They were like, we have this super nice pool. Here, get in. Poof, you're in your clothes. You have your suitcase with you. Get in the pool. Get in the pool. Come enjoy our perfect pool. Get in. Let me push you in. How many of you like swimming? How many of you like swimming with your suitcase and your clothes on? Yeah, a couple of you jokesters out there. That's the blessing of you middle schoolers. You guys always love to go against the grain. You guys are a blessing. But guys, with that, it's ridiculous to say that hotel is blessing you with the pool by shoving you in. You have to enjoy the pool, right? It's an option. This pool is an option for you to partake in. It would not be loving of them to shove you in the pool. And the blessings that you have been given by God also are an open invitation. You've been invited to the pool at the hotel. You've been invited to partake in these blessings. And the way that you get to partake in them, we can look back to Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." Now, the key words, in Christ. It is in Christ that we get to partake in these blessings. That is how we choose to receive the blessings that he's talking about. Is that when we act in a way that is what God would call us to live, that is where we get to experience blessing in our life. We can't be disrespectful to our parents and then pray, say, "Oh, I hope that I'm blessed and my parents let me go to the sleepover," whatever it is, right? Like, your actions have already said, I'm denying, like, I'm not going the way that God would call me to go in honoring my mother and father. So you are foregoing the blessing that could come from that. This is the same way. It's an option. There's an initial option that we'll talk about in a second, but then even as you are a believer, you get to choose every day what kind of lifestyle are you going to live. And if we live in a way that would honor God, that is how we are going to be blessed. Not because our works earn blessing, but because sin leads to death. So if we sin, we are choosing to walk towards death. And so some of you are wondering, like, how is it even possible to live a blessed life today? There's so many things that are going on in culture and that I deal with. How is it possible to live a blessed life today? Well, guys, we talked about the three things, right? Is that God's blessings are consistent, God's blessings are eternal, and God's blessings are an open invitation. And if we want to enjoy all of these blessings, the first thing that we need to do is to make Jesus our CEO. We need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. He needs to be our boss, CEO. That's an acronym for you. And when you can allow God to come in and be the ruler and the Lord of your life, you will then get to experience these three categories of blessing: a consistent, eternal, and invitation to blessing. I want to read this scripture to you, and I want you to think about it, because this talks about so much your identity, what you were before Christ and what you are now. I'm going to read it, so just listen. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." We deserved death. That was our identity. We were dead. Our identity was death. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace that we have been saved." So our identity is no longer dead and doomed to eternal separation from God, but now we get to walk in the identity. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we get to move from the status of dead. There's nothing that you can do when you're dead to save yourself. You are fully dead. You're at the bottom of a lake, not like struggling, trying to reach a life raft, you're dead. And God comes and rescues you out of it. And once that has happened, he has invited you. He's changed your identity so that you're no longer known as the dead man, but you are now known as the blessed man or the blessed woman. God has taken you from death to life. And this is the free gift that must be accepted. Looking back again, Ephesians 1, verse 3. This is the key part that we didn't talk about yet, and it's the first two words. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Again, starts with praise be. That is how Paul can start by saying praise be. I love God, bless him. I'm in prison, but I'm experiencing these spiritual blessings. His circumstances are not dictating the way that he feels, because he knows that his identity is no longer dead in sin like he knows that he was, but he has been invited and has accepted to live an eternal life with God and experience the blessings that follow. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us in Christ. Thank you that there's nothing that we could do to earn it. There's nothing we could do to work for it. We were dead in our sin, eternally separated from you. And yet in your love, you came and you sent your son to die for us so that we might have a right relationship with you. And God, with that comes blessing and so many other things to our identity that we're going to get to talk about in the next little part of this series. God, but we are so grateful that we know walking out of this, if our lives have been surrendered to you, we are blessed. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.